Yeah. Let's just pray. Father, we just come to you this morning to say we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for your time. We thank you that us as a people, oh God, step into your Kairos time. We're moving out of our natural and stepping into that spiritual time. The supernatural Kairos moments for every life in this place. So we just receive it. Even as a church, we just receive it. We are stepping into our Kairos time. Thank you. Just thank you. So we just bless you as a people. And we just say we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Oof. Last week when Alan was, I don't know whether he was worshiping and he said this, he said, what will we do when Jesus comes into this room? And I've always dreamt of this. I don't know if you do things like that, you know, others, you have already decided you're just going to see Jesus in heaven. I want to see him in rooms. I want to see him in places. I want to see him wherever I go. Sometimes even when I close my eyes, I see his face. Because that's how close he wants to be to us. So I always wonder, I don't know, you can help me maybe. What is your response when if he walks in this room? Would you run to him? Or would you say, oh, let them go first. Let me sit at the back. I don't know about you. I'm going to run. I'm going to run. I don't have words to tell him. But I'll basically just hug him. You have to prepare yourself for moments like this. You know, we basically prepare ourselves to go to meet your boss, to go for your evaluation, for whatever. But never we tell people, prepare yourself that you may one day just see Jesus walk into this room. What would you do? See, that consciousness, this conscious decision has to be in our hearts in that sense. And it says, what would we do if he comes in? You know, the woman basically who broke the alabaster box had already planned. But I wonder where she came up from this plan. It had to be the Holy Spirit, you know, to pour the whole this thing and to weep on his feet and wash his feet with the tears and wipe it with her hair. What would you do? See, sometimes today I'm very relaxed. It's like the intensity of God is more in a sense that he wants to draw you. So I just feel like I have to pitch a sales thing to you of what heaven really wants. And I'm using what Alan walked into last week into that. So one of the things what Alan, I guess, did he say that? Yeah, he said the glory is in his face. You see, when you behold his face, you behold the glory of the Lord. That is through intimacy. What we have basically done is we're doing the works of the Lord and we've forgotten that what his face looks like. You can talk all you want and I really doesn't even bother me. But when you talk about his face, everything in me will basically move. Everything in this room will move when you talk about his face because you are seeing him, the creator of heaven and earth, face to face. There is nothing else. Talk to me is useless. If I basically don't have to say a thing and I'm just able to stand and the presence of God just comes in this room, that's all that we need. That's all that we need, Lord. It's very important for us to understand the moments that we are in. Last week when Alan said, I have a message, but I'm not preaching the message, what did he do? He prayed. You see, what was he praying for? He was praying for the glory of the Lord. Dan, go ahead and put 2 Chronicles 7:1. Since last year, this has been one of my favorite passages that I stay on. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the Shekinah glory and the brilliance of the Lord filled the house. When he finished praying. This is how funny it is. He didn't say when they finished prophesying, when they finished giving their offering, said, and you can go read Solomon's prayer. It's a pretty big prayer. It was not like, God bless this grub, and the fire fell. You have to basically understand that what, you know, the ways of heaven are. The ways of heaven, I believe in a sovereign move of God, where God can just come in and we are like, you know, not prepared for the move of God. And suddenly, and I believe even when we are prepared, it will be like we'll not be prepared. We'll be basically be screaming. We don't know what the heck is happening and all, you know. Like, you know, when we, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder when, like, you know, we feel the presence of God at church. I wonder does it look like in our houses? Do we feel the same presence of God? Or is it only left for church that you come and you feel the presence of God? And all your screams and shouts are basically only for Sunday. And Monday to Saturday, we basically have nothing. Pin drop silence. I always wonder. My tears are there with me in my car. My tears are with me wherever I go. What about you? See, sometimes we have to basically ask ourselves, are we Sunday to Sunday Christian or are we a Christian every day? See, very simple things. God works in simple things. The tabernacle, right? The tabernacle had the outer court and the inner court, right? I'll say this. A lot of churches in the Christian world are stuck in the outer court because they're waiting for the salvations. They're just there. Do you understand what I'm saying? A lot of churches are focused on the numbers of people saved and all that. But they were not called for just being over there. They were called to go into the Holy of Holies. Before you enter the Holy of Holies is the holy place. Okay? In that holy place, you have the showbread on one side. So bread, basically, with frankincense on it, which is sacrifice in a sense. And that is communion to us. So it's a place of intimacy where you come in close and you eat with people or you eat with him. On one side is the lampstand, which is symbolic of Jesus. The oil is filled with the Holy Spirit. The light shining, but in the center is the altar of incense. That's your prayer. It's go to the verse, Exodus 36. I want you to see this because sometimes we think that the Old Testament has no relevance for where we are. And I want you to see that this whole roadmap is laid out for us of how you progress into the glory of the Lord. What brings the glory, what comes, you know, because sometimes we get so caught up is when the presence of God comes, we basically feel the presence of God and all. But I want to make a distinction of the glory of the Lord. I want to make a distinction that even in this place of where the altar is, where the light of Jesus is, where the revelation is, was still not the glory of the Lord. You see, as a church, we sometimes are not familiar with the scripture. It's like, hey, we're still not yet gone into that Holy of Holies. You see, and that's where we are called to minister. Because the church ministry is, yes, part of it is to the people in the outer court, to the people, you know, who have to be served communion and all. But the true ministry is an ability to go into the Holy of Holies and seek his face. That's it. That's your true ministry. Everything else is shallow, does not meet requirement according to his heart. Huh. Did I read that? No. You shall put the altar of incense in front and outside the veil that screens the ark of the testimony before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet you. His promise to you is, that's where I'll meet you. You see, it's in his heart that he wants to meet you. He desires to meet you. Every person in this place, I don't know what your background is, or whatever you think that you have done, he has decided that he desires to meet you. From the beginning of time, before you were born, his desire has always been you, that to meet you. Anything short of this is not his plan. So you have to get used to this as like, hey, I was born to be with him. I was born to be in this presence. You know, I love to teach people to understand first the presence of God, because once you understand that vibration of heaven, you understand what it feels like, how that room feels like when he walks in, you automatically know every time you can go and you know he's here, he's here, he's here. I do not have to tell you one thing, but you have trained yourself when you sense the presence of God, your toes even curl if it has to, but you automatically know it's like, poof, he's here. The wind stills in the room. That's what I train and teach people to do. First learn that. Because my talking can be a waste of time to you. But once you train yourself and your spirit man knows and he senses, he knows exactly, and your soul then comes in and says, yeah, this is him. You automatically, even the false things will come and you will be able to discern. In the end times, the discernment level of the church has to come to its highest at its peak. No longer, because there'll be fake people, there'll be fake stuff, but you have to be able to discern, this is him. This is him that my heart longs for. This is him that I've been living for. This is him that I truly love to die for. This is him. This is his presence. Just right now, just close your eyes. Just sense this presence. I want you to know him. The Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord. So Lord, right now, just be still. To each, it will be different. Just know him. Jesus. To some, he's touching your head. To some, he's just hugging on you. To some, he's just holding your hands, sitting next to you. He wants you to know that he's there with you. So we just bless you, Jesus. We just bless you. 2 Chronicles 7:3. I skip 2. I can read 2 too. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory and the brilliance of the Lord had filled the house. This is where the separation of when the anointing is here and when the glory comes in. The priests think that they have to minister. You see, when the glory comes, you stop ministering. This is the difference I want you to understand, because we think that when the glory is here, I have to reach and I have to pray for the sick, I have to prophesy, I have to do these things. This is your roadmap. When the glory comes and the brilliance, it says the priests were shut out of the temple. God's plan is that, because priests, the flesh, wants to get in and say, I did this, I'm ministering, I prayed for this. I have news for you. You don't have any right to sometimes be in that place. You see, you just have to know this. It's just easy. Get out of the way. That's why when I asked Pastor Lena, I wanted to make sure that I'm out of the way. When the glory comes, I don't want to be in the way of the glory. You see, I don't want to get in the way. I don't want my flesh to get in the way. And I just want to back off. It's fine to back off. Because more is achieved without me in the glory. So what we have done is we have taught people that the minister is going to minister. And that's all you're supposed to understand. But I want you to know there's another level where the glory comes in. And then when he ministers, there is no need of any other minister who would have to be just, hey, be on your face. For your own good, Moses, let me hide your face. For your own good. You see, I'll give you an example. Last September, we went to a pastor's conference. And suddenly, this glory broke out in this room, where everybody in this room for the next, it was a big church, for the next 20 odd minutes. For 20 minutes, people started screaming nonstop, okay? You could be down here, you could be on the upper level, and they were all screaming at the same time. Like, you can hear it. You go play the video, you can hear it, and they basically are screaming because Jesus walked on the platform. The guy who was supposed to minister hid behind, okay? Ministers, like fathers of the faith who were in the back, God told them, get in the room right now. Can I? Oh, yeah, correct. But there was a pastor who was on his phone. He was taking a call. He didn't know that what was happening in the room. Walked in the room, and the presence of God just hit him, that he just fell on the carpet, literally had, broken blood vessels in his face. I want to introduce you to this, that glory of the Lord. Was anybody doing anything for 20 minutes? Nothing. Some people were repenting. There were a group of pastors who were around me, basically literally looked at each other and said, hey, we need to call a staff meeting. Literally in front of me, and then they walked out after the service and they said, everything has to change in our church because we have not been accustomed to this. We've just been doing services after services after services, but we are not looking after the presence of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Father, we ask you forgiveness for days, O God, that we have not looked after your glory, O God, not come after to you, O God. Lord, we just repent, O God, in our hearts, O God. Help us to be daily, O God, seeking your face, O God. Verse 3, when all the people of Israel saw how the fire came down and saw the glory and brilliance of the Lord upon the house, they bowed down on the stone pavement with their faces to the ground. Literally, they didn't ask what kind of carpet you got or whether I'll be dirty when I get up. They just knew. This is people saved, unsaved. They were basically, hey, say, that's what God, that's what the glory of the God looks like. You know, in the Old Testament, it even said people who were not Jewish people, when they prayed unto the Lord, looked in the direction and prayed unto the Lord, their prayers were answered. So even unsaved people, even people who did not know anything about the faith, suddenly will have this moment where they'll basically see the glory of the Lord and they'll say, Lord, I repent. Think like the guy on the cross next to Jesus. In a moment, he had eternity. In a moment, basically, they could basically be in heaven. And you could say, oh, they just showed up and they just went into heaven. Okay. You know, and some people will be upset and some people will not. But that's how it is. All these I will bring to my holy mountain and make Isaiah 56:7. Sorry, Dan. I have not finished that. Okay. That was the first part of it. And they worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. That's the reaction of the people. What we have told people, that when the glory comes, that you're going to die. No. Your flesh is going to die. But your spirit man is going to rejoice, and your true spirit that God created is going to come in and just say, whoa, you know, he is good. His mercy endures forever. Like, suddenly you'll have this, I don't know how, our ways are a shell, but the true spirit of God just breaks out and he basically knows how to rejoice. You know, and that rejoicing is a very different rejoicing. 56:7. And all these I'll bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, will be accepted, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all people. Yeah, the first part is very funny. It says, joyful in my house of prayer. John says this a lot. Prayer meetings are the most least attended meetings in America. But that's what God is saying, that my house will be called a house of prayer. So, I don't know. But you're supposed to be joyful in the house of prayer. But if you don't show up, how will you be joyful for prayer? It's a question, right? If I say, hey, prayer meeting is so-and-so day, and we basically say, sure, if I don't show up, nobody knows, fine. But this is called, that the church will basically call a house of prayer. Joyful in my house of prayer. You know the verse that says, joy of the Lord is my strength? When we are joyful in the house of prayer, we can endure anything. We become warriors. We have the tenacity that doesn't matter what life throws at us. We have said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'll be joyful in the house of prayer. I've seen all my life intercessors, mostly women, but basically who have just been praying, and they have gone through the worst lives ever. Like whatever life could throw at them has been thrown at them. They have been without money. They have been homeless. They have been, you know, whatever you want to think of. But they can pray. They can pray because they have the joy of the Lord. Here we get a paper cut and we're like, oh, take me to emergency. You know, that's the ability to trust. You know, 1 minute, maybe I wrote it down. Sorry, I write lots of things on my paper. Some things make it, some things don't. Yeah. Okay. So I wrote you, where is it? You know, we say, oh, we trust him. Job 13:15 says, though he will slay me, yet I will trust in him. So when we start trusting, you know, people ask, how much money should I make? Like how Pastor Lena was saying, Pastor Easy wanted to make millions for the Lord. How much money should I make that I can say that I'm good or whatever? We're saying we trust, we're doing it for the Lord. But when our trust becomes in the money, whatever that dollar amount is, where you stop trusting God and you trust in your money that you can make this happen, that's when you have erred. Sometimes it is not, people think it's 100% where I've 100% started trusting in money. I raise the bar to that place where I say, even when 1% of my trust wavers from 100% trusting on God, I basically erred. And I need to go back quickly to that place. You know, a lot of people come, is like saying, oh, Lord, I have this problem. I need God. And then whatever they do, they get their job, they get their money, they get the wife, they get whatever. They no longer need God. They go back to their own this thing because they never really wanted God in the first place. The talk was there. Pap, 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 pap. Oh, when I get so many thousands of dollars, I'll lead a life good to God. Nah, you didn't have it. Just like that. You just have to say. I've seen this over time. Okay? I may be bold enough to say it. You can stone me or whatever later. It doesn't matter to me. But I'll tell you, because I've seen enough evidence of this, that basically that when you 1% also start putting your heart in, I can do this? Nah, you have veered off the path of the Lord. You have veered off the strength of the Lord. And, sorry, we don't have a lot of time. So one more thing. So the end times is where the tabernacle of David is supposed to be restored, right? So you have to understand that this worship and prayer has to be restored in the end time. So it won't be like, you know, I'll worship, but then I just check out in worship because I'm done. This is the problem also. We have to teach the church that soaking is not something that you suddenly checked out. You know, when we were trained to be like intercessors and all, by the way, Jesus is still an intercessor, okay? In heaven, he's still interceding for you. So he's actively praying. So it's the number one, what do you say, mantle that you want is Jesus the intercessor, right? A man of prayer, a woman of prayer. So when people check out, they're gone. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know where they're this thing. But we were trained to sit in this. And when we were like, you know, in prayer, I would wait for the next person to say amen. That was my cue to say, I'm going. It was not my cue to just speak in tongues or check out and say, oh, I'm having prayer. No, no, no. We were like that ferocious lions that we were waiting. When you said amen, I was going, in the name of Jesus, da-da-da-da-da-da, we would go. Our prayer was not like a prayer of soaking. Do you know the difference? Like when we pray, we have this lull. No, we never had that lull. We were never trained to have lull. We were supposed to be shooting arrows, boom, 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 boom. Like, I'll give you an example. David and Saul. Saul could prophesy for day and night when the presence of God came. But Saul was not called to be a man of prayer. He was not. He just didn't have it. He never trained himself. He never walked in it. But David was a man of prayer. That's why it's so easy. Today you ask people to pray and they can't. But you ask them to prophesy and they just go, blah, 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 blah. It's very easy to prophesy. But I have news for you. You prophesying basically doesn't have anything to say that about your intimacy with God. It was a gift given to you and you just have it. People think that I can prophesy. Prophecy is easy. You just connect to the heart of God and you just know what he's doing and you'll tell him exactly. Why I tell you that people have said things and they have walked away from what they said, oh, I love God, I want God so much. I always look at his reaction because my reaction is, you suck and you suck and you did this wrong and all. So I look at Jesus' face and all I see is him crying. I wish they loved me. And he doesn't say anything bad about the person. His heart is always like that. I try to train myself to walk in those things and not give in to my natural reaction because my natural reaction is like, oh, I want to, like, you know, I want heaven to strike you down. You said this and you never did this. But his heart is like, I wish they loved me. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, did we say what we said? And are we walking in it? Or we just walked away from it? Yeah. The last thing I wrote here, prophecies are fulfilled in prayer. We have a lot of prophecies on our life. We have a lot of prophecies on this house. But we want it fulfilled in prayer. This altar of prayer is what will cause the glory of the Lord or us to even enter into the glory of the Lord. When we enter into the glory of the Lord, the world outside is going to start seeing and saying, hey, there's something over there. God's over there. He's through. He's merciful. We don't have to tell them, it's like, oh, you sinned. No, they're just going to say, he's merciful. Once they understand God's mercy, for you, Falcon, right? When you understand God's merciful and he's like saying, hey, don't worry about this stuff, you automatically say, I can run to him whenever I want to. You see, the world outside is waiting for that knowing. And that knowing sometimes is in the glory of the Lord. It's like, they go, it's like, you know what? I don't even want these drugs. I want to just burn it. I don't want all this witchcraft stuff. I just want to burn it. I don't need anything else. I don't need this boyfriend. I don't need this girlfriend. I don't need these wrong relationships. I just want him. When the church comes to that place where we say that this is what we are called to do, the presence of the Lord, to minister in the Holy of Holies, everything else will line up. The salvations will happen in the outside. But we won't be focused on that because our face will be beholding the face of Jesus. Beholding glory. That's where we will be changed. That's where, like, even as what Kurt was singing, is like, you know, we'll be transformed from glory to glory. Because every moment we go into the presence of the Lord, we just be changed. So the big thing today is I want to pitch to you that without prayer, we cannot see the glory of the Lord. We cannot see the glory of the Lord. We cannot see revival. Revival is also an offshoot of this prayer. Revival is not what we are praying for that revival happens. We are praying that we minister to his face and revival happens at the outside. Get this right. Sometimes our thinking is basically a little mixed up. We're praying. We say, Lord, we want to see revival. We want to see souls. Okay, you'll see souls. And then there, what else? You're left with holding the bag. Because you never really seeked after the one who was causing the revival. This is where our hearts have to be. It's like, so this morning is that invitation. Would you want to reinstall that prayer in your lives? Would you want to say, hey, Lord, you said put the altar closest to my presence, that once we come to you in prayer, that your promise is, I will meet with you. This is an offer to you this morning. In our hearts, 7 days a week, not only on Sunday, that would you come to that altar of prayer? Would you come? Would you come to that altar of prayer? That I'm just across that veil. And this veil that was torn by Jesus allows me to be one with you. Allows me to be one with you. Would you come to that altar of prayer? Would you not worry about the sound happening on the outside? Would you just set yourself apart to bring yourself to the same ministry of the ministry of Jesus, a man of prayer? Would you? This is a call to you this morning. So Lord, we just come to you this morning. Just join with me in prayer, which if you want to. Lord, we just come to you saying, Lord, our hearts have gotten old and cold. Our hearts have sometimes forgotten, oh God, that this is what it was called to be. A call to minister to you. A call to come into the holy place where we are one step away from seeing the glory of the Lord. So Lord, right now, every noise, every yearnings of our flesh, we lay it down. And we take up this thing and we say we yearn for you. Jesus, we yearn for you. My heart, my soul, my mind, everything yearns for you. To see you in the secret place. Not outside where the noise is. Not to be known just because of what is happening outside. But to be known by you, that I may behold you face to face, because this is what you've called us to be. Behold my glory. Behold my face. Yes, Lord, we behold your face. We behold your face. Your eyes are eyes of fire. Consume things in us, Lord. Let our hearts burn with fire, even as we yearn for you. As we behold your face. So we just bless you, Lord, for giving us this offer to come meet with you. So we just thank you. In Jesus' name. Just sense this moment right now. This is where heavenly transactions are made. This is a transaction we just made. See what this room feels like. We bless you, Lord. He will stay as long as you want to stay. Huh. Jesus, we bless you right now. Receive your healing. Like especially with migraines, head, any kind of issue. That's what's happening right now in this room. Nasal, everything. allergies. Jesus. Yeah. So we just bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.